Canucks Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, here in the mobile Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Yes, we are live at the Sheridan Wall Center ahead of the Canucks Autism Network Pro-Am Draft Night, one of the favorite nights of the year for us on location. Sat and I will be emceeing the draft night again this year as teams that are supporting the Canucks Autism Network will be able to draft their favorite Canucks and NHL alumni. It does incredible amounts of fundraising for the Canucks Autism Network, and we get a benefit out of it too because we get to get a little interview with some of our favorite old Canucks.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're going to actually partake in the tournament over the weekend?
I don't know how much helping I'll be doing after being on the shelf all week.
Well, number one, it's good to have you back.
Yes, thank you.
You sound good. You look good.
Okay.
Honestly,
well,
like you don't look like you came off your deathbed, thankfully. But yeah, you know what? When you've been sick and you start exercising right away, it could be a little bit tough. So ease your way in on the weekend. Are you playing tomorrow morning?
I will be making sure that I don't take many shifts tomorrow morning. Hey, guys. Yeah. Just roll me through this time around, you know.
Yeah.
I'll sit between the forwards and the defensemen, and then I'll decide when I'm able to go out there. That's as we all know, that's the area of where you're riding pine. So we'll see how much of pine riding I do for the Sportsnet team this weekend in the annual CAN Pro-Am. We're excited. We're going to be talking to the likes of hopefully Kessler, Eddie Lack, some of our favorites. Matt Cook is here. Matthew Barnaby was one of our favorite interviews from last year, and obviously still very in tune with what's going on with the NHL. So that's just a few of the names we could be rolling through over the next hour and a bit. Of course, Yannick Hansen will join us as well coming up after 4:30. So a lot to get into here. If you want to be a part of the program, you can. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox if you are listening live. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome. Details at dunbarlumber.com. All right. Let's get into it. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh, that's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Open, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it as the Canucks embarking on a California road trip. They practice today out at UBC and are headed out to San Jose tomorrow night before Anaheim on Tuesday and closing out with the LA Kings next Thursday. But still, the reverberations of Wednesday night's touchdown loss to the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, I mean, you were sick. How much more sick did you get watching that game on Wednesday?
I didn't think it could feel possibly worse than I was in the moment. But that game certainly didn't do a lot. You know, when you're moving from the bed to the couch for days on end, you're just like, I need something different than like the latest Netflix show or Apple TV show just to like break up the monotony of my days right now. And there was the Canucks not playing well against the New Jersey Devils.
And just go to bed right afterwards. Like, that's a good way to just go to bed.
I did have a little bit of schadenfreude watching the New York Yankees blow a potential series comeback against the LA Dodgers. But
that was fantastic. That was honestly fantastic.
It was incredible theater, to be honest.
It was really good.
Watching the Yankees blow it up in their own faces was pretty amazing. And the Canucks did a little bit of that themselves against the New Jersey Devils on Wednesday.
Well, unlike the Yankees, they did not have a lead. They were nowhere near getting a lead in that hockey game. And honestly, it was such a earth-shattering type of game that you mentioned the reverberations are still being felt today. And so much so that you heard how the head coach is approaching this. He felt like that loss is so bad that they kind of have to go back to school again.
Yeah. Talking a lot about fundamentals again. And we're losing some of our habits from the last couple of years. So those are not good signs when the coach is saying those things. And I know you referenced it over the last couple of days, how Rick Tocchet alluded to, you know, if things don't change, we could go on a bit of a losing streak here. Yeah. We're not playing all that well. We mentioned it, not to backpat ourselves here on the show, but we mentioned it in between the Philly and Chicago wins. It's like, you're doing enough things well to beat these teams, but if this continues and you get Carolina and New Jersey next week, things aren't going to go as well. And sure enough, this was maybe the wake-up call that they needed, but it was interesting to hear the coach not go in on his team. He's been pretty fair. Even Wednesday night after the game, he chose not to blast them, at least publicly. And today he's talking about being a wake-up call, getting back to fundamentals, putting some of the blame on himself. Maybe I got to be a little bit more in tune with the details of practice and the fundamentals at practice. And it goes to show that while the record isn't in a bad spot right now, 4-2-3, you're okay. Yeah, you've lost more games than you've won technically, but you're still in an okay spot. You're above 500 on your points percentage. As long as you're staying in that range through the first bit of the season, you give yourself a chance to go on a run and be a playoff team later in the year. But the coach clearly feels right now, Sat, I don't know if crossroads is the right term, but he feels, without saying it explicitly, like this is a big moment of the season, there's a feeling of urgency, I guess, from Rick Tocchet to get the snowball rolling in a better direction right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you have to kind of nip this in the bud, so to speak, really early.
Yeah.
You don't want these things to fester. And I think right now, as much as we've been talking about the Canucks' best players not being at their best, this is where good and great head coaches get their teams back on track quickly.
Yeah.
We allotted Tocchet so much for the work he did with the team last year and obviously so far this season. And you're right. I mean, 11 points. It's not like we're sitting here talking about a critical situation for the Canucks, right?
No.
Like, you know, they're fine as far as where they are in the standings. They haven't killed themselves in the first 10 games. Like, they're going to be over 500 after 10 games, no matter what happens against San Jose. Like, that's a fine spot to be in. It's not great, but it's fine.
Yeah.
What's bad is, like you mentioned, if you go on a 3-4-5-game losing streak and now all of a sudden you have to climb out of a hole and, you know, where are you headed towards the season at that point? Don't let it get to that stage. And I do think this reckoning, so to speak, was coming because they've been so loose since the start of the season. You saw they gave up the lead the first two games, right? They played some good hockey games, but can you think of one actually great, quote-unquote, close to 60-minute effort? Maybe the Florida game?
Maybe the Florida game. They weren't that against Philadelphia. They weren't that against Chicago. Even against Pittsburgh, right? Like, they had that great 65 seconds.
Yeah.
And then after that, what happened? What? You know, it was kind of... You still allowed Pittsburgh to get their fair share of chances.
Yeah, and you can be optimistic and say, hey, they haven't played well at all, and they're fine as far as where they are in the standings. So if you start playing better all of a sudden, can this team, you know, launch off a little bit here? And I think that's something at least that could be in the cards if they get on track over this three-game trip here in California. Because I think this trip, the way the opponents are set up as well, it's not a murderer's row you're going through. So if you have a great effort against San Jose, you go win all three games, what's the discussion going to be when they come back home?
It's going to change quite a bit.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, the process, like, the market is smart enough, and this team is mature enough to not fool themselves about how they win games. For as much as, you know, like, at least publicly they would state, you know, we're still not playing our best, we're getting wins, but we're still not playing our best. Didn't change them or didn't kick them into gear to play a less loose of a game here against Carolina and New Jersey. But, like, the thing about this season, and Rick Tocchet alluded to this as well today, like, the standards are higher.
Yeah.
We've got to be better.
This should be.
We have to be better than we were last year if we're going to be a better team this year. And they haven't found that gear yet. And right now you're at a moment where it's like, are we going to push through this uncomfortable moment to find that next level? Or are we going to turtle a little bit and kind of fall into a mediocre, mushy middle of the National Hockey League?
Yeah, there's no panic, but urgency is required.
Yes.
And right now they're not playing urgent enough. And I don't think they've been urgent enough as well as far as attacking their style of play and being who they should be as a team. And, you know, we had Mike Kelly on yesterday, and he went through the numbers from Sports Logic. Yeah, the Canucks have been fine as far as their expected goals for, actually. Okay, they're not creating off the rush, but they're also giving up a ton off the rush. Yeah. They're not as good as they were defensively. So you don't have your foundation at where it was last year, at least not yet. And until you become a strong defensive team again and you have a spine again, this team is only going to be mediocre, right?
Yeah.
That was what made them such a quality team last year. They were legitimately one of the best, if not the best, defensive team in the Western Conference, one of the best in the league, right? And they were tremendous as far as getting high performances from their best players. We saw Pettersson not do it towards the end, and he's a completely different conversation here too, but also a big part of where the Canucks need to be at. But it was their star players being great, but they were fundamentally great defensively.
Yeah.
If they're not fundamentally great defensively, like, this team is only going to be mediocre. They'll maybe make the playoffs, but I'm not sure they're going to accomplish anything. So they have to get back to establishing that as soon as possible.
Well, and one thing that's different from last year, they started the year similar to, like, Vegas right now. You look at Vegas's numbers, it's like, oh, wow, Mark Stone's got 19 points already. Look how many goals Vegas is scoring. This is unbelievable. What's going on over there? But they're scoring at an incredible clip. Their shooting percentage as a team is through the roof. They are essentially where the Canucks were last year in a way, where they were just scoring at an unsustainable rate. And what it allowed the Canucks to do last season was outscore their problems early in the season, mask a little bit of, you know, the defensive frailties they had. They also had Thatcher Demko, which helped quite a bit.
Kevin Pretty Lankin good fail-safe.
Has maybe held his end of the bargain on that front so far this year. But the Canucks haven't been able to outscore their issues, certainly against Carolina or New Jersey. It's allowed them to get points in games. It's allowed them to win games against lesser competition. But they haven't found a gear consistently that allows them to really show they are the cup contender a lot of people had been prognosticating them to be early in the season. It's not critical, but there has to be an urgency to finding it. And ultimately, like, yeah, there's details about that. And sure, you could talk about them adding their wrinkles to their game and wanting to be a team that creates more off the rush. And is that something that's too far away from their identity? I don't buy into all that, because you have to evolve your team to a certain level every year, keep getting better in different areas to continue pushing the envelope towards being a Stanley Cup contender. And quite clearly, when they came out of the playoffs, they needed to add wrinkles to their game offensively in order to reach another level this
season. And I don't think that should come at the expense of your defensive play, right?
Like, I don't think Rick Tocchet is meant for that to happen. I think that's the players have almost allowed that to happen.
At the same time, if they're so focused on creating off the rush, do you just tell them to go away from it?
Right.
You know?
I mean, that's a tricky spot as a coach, though.
Yeah, it is, but I thought Lance...
Here's what I think we're doing to make us a better team, and we're scrapping that 10 games into the season. That's a dangerous game to play.
And honestly, all this is speculative, because none of us can say there's been any tweaks. And I think fundamentally they're trying to do the same thing this entire time, and they're not going away from it, really. And I don't think the tweaks they're making are radical as far as going away from their identity.
I think, honestly, more has been made of it than what it's actually set out or meant out to be.
That's what I believe, too. But Landon made a good point yesterday that if indeed these tweaks have the guys a bit messed up as far as what to do and what they're trying to accomplish, considering the clout that Tocchet has and the results they're having, it wouldn't necessarily be detrimental to his messaging and his stature to go back a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I think he said it all comes down to the coach and the situation with the team.
Yeah.
So that's a fair point, because I'm with you. I think if you come in and you have this game plan that you spend all this time focusing on, and then all of a sudden, you know, 10 games in, 9 games in, you're like, no, scrap it.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that. You don't want to do that. But, yeah, I do think you nailed it. I think it's a lot's been made of the tweaks, and they're not that dramatic.
To me, it ultimately comes down to the players. I know, and listening to the post game the last couple nights with you and Bick over these last couple of games, you know, people are starting to point the finger at Tock, and I've seen it in my Twitter mentions as well. I'm like, wow, I can't believe how people, like, turn on what's not even been a poor start to the season. The process hasn't been good. Obviously, Pettersson's not been good, but they're, like, it's really not as bad as people are making it out to be.
Honestly, not to get overly, like, you know, but, you know, I think, honestly, a lot of the reaction is because people haven't been used to watching a good team again and analyzing a good team. And they're used to, you know, the last like 10 years where whatever was bad, let's get it out the door. Yeah. It's like fire Benning, fire Travis. These guys aren't good enough. Trade this guy, trade that guy. Clearly they're not good enough. And I think there's still an adjustment period for many to go from that being the reflexive reaction to things not going well, which is like punt this guy, punt that guy. Whereas what it should be is critical analysis, right? And we can obviously talk about things they need to do better and critique what they're doing wrong. All that is fair, and fans are allowed to have opinions. I'm not sure we need to be so dramatic as to trade this guy, trade that guy, fire that guy 9-10 games in. I think that's a bit much.
Yep.
I think we're better than that, generally speaking, but I will give it an adjustment period for a couple of years for people to adjust to analyzing and watching a good hockey team versus a team that was floundering for the better part of a decade.
And part of it, too, is like everything that they've done is essentially hit, right? And hit right away.
Yeah.
Especially with Rick Tocchet. Like, from the moment he got in, there was almost nothing that he did that ended up not really working for this
team. But it's like it's like something that we've talked about in the past, that it was a great – they're on great heaters, all of them.
Yeah.
That's not going to last forever.
Not going to last forever.
You can be the greatest coach, greatest player, greatest everything, and you're still going to go have challenging moments. It's not always going to work for you. You're going to have to adjust or find different answers. And right now, things are not coming easy to talk it. And I think it's fair to scrutinize him.
Yeah.
I think absolutely it's fair to scrutinize him, because you can look at the goalie decision against the Devils, for instance.
Yeah.
Should you have gone to Lankinen?
Right.
Right? You can look at that. And even, you know, to the point people make in the text inbox, Keith, the water guy, last year's team did not need any adjustment. So even if, whatever, like, is that actually the right call or not? Are you getting the best out of your team? Right now, Pedersen's not playing his best. Like, all that stuff is fair to scrutinize. All that stuff is fair to look at and wonder what the reasons are for it. And I think this is also a part where we get to see what Tocchet's made of. How does he get a team that's off to a bit of a wishy-washy start and has a struggling superstar?
Yeah.
How does he handle this? How does he get this team out? How does he get this player out? And I think that's going to be really what we watch the next 15, 20 games. And, you know, how does this coach react to his first real challenge as a Canucks head coach?
Yeah, and I think the caution flags have been out for Rick Tocchet a little bit. Some of the little nuggets he sprinkled into his post-game availabilities. There was a couple weeks ago where he sort of mentioned in passing, like, did guys think it was going to be easy coming into camp and into the season this year? And
it's stuff he said along the way, right?
Like, there's been little nuggets here and there alluding to how this team's maybe habits haven't been where they need to be at this point of the season. And while all those things are happening and their details need to be better, their goaltending needs to be better, ultimately, Sat, part of me is like, what do you expect when you don't have a top six that's firing like a top six right now?
It always comes down to your best players.
And like, JT, bless him, he's got 9 points in 9 games. I'm not going to criticize him too much, but we know he can be better.
We know he's hurt.
Yeah, we know he's hurt, but, you know, we know he can be better, and he can be sharper, maybe eliminate some of the turnovers.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Jake DeBrusque hasn't scored a goal yet. Elias Pettersson is the biggest story in the market still after everything that happened last year, and for good reason. I mean, he's scoring at the likes of like a Beck Malinston or Drew O'Connor or something. Like, it's
not great, man. It's not great.
It's bad. You know, your $11.6 million centerman is playing like a fourth liner right now. And that's scoring like a fourth liner.
And that's the thing, right? And even the things he's doing well, nobody cares, because you're not getting paid $11.6 to be a really good defensive player. You need to be a two-way force, yes, but the offensive part.
And if you're getting paid $11.6, you better be like Sasha Barkov level of defending. Well,
I mean, and Barkov was at least close to a point per game, right? Like, at least be around that. Like, if Pettersson right now had like 8 points in 9 games, but it was playing stellar defensively, which he has, he's been really good defensively, I don't think anybody would. I mean, maybe some criticism about, hey, 11.6, should he not be taking a step? How come he's not, you know, more dominant? Sure, fair. You can always scrutinize.
But it doesn't even look
players.
Like he's close.
But that's the thing.
Ultimately,
exactly.
Ultimately, like, you know, he takes that shot at the end of the first period. Everybody's like, who the heck is this guy? You know, that's not the guy I remember, like, picking corners on some of the best goalies in the league.
I mean, yeah. And I know that situation, like, if you're fair about it, it's you know, anyways, but yes, I'm with you, because I'm like, why don't you attack more? Even so, I'm like, you know, it was too reluctant, you know, and he's almost second-guessing himself, second-guessing what to do, and we know that he's a far better player when he plays off instinct. But, I mean, we're not saying anything we haven't said about Pettersson, right? Like, and I think ultimately he has to be better,
Yeah.
you know, and that's ultimately what it is. Like, and I see this stuff about trade. I don't have the energy for it because it's not realistic. Yeah. And I think if you wanted to trade him, he has to play better for the value to be where it needs to be. And nobody trades a player they signed to a $93 million contract after a few bad months, right? Yeah. Even a bad year. Like, you give it a bit more time. And I think as far as the level of talent he has, what he's shown, 25-year-old guys with his track record is what every team wants. And if it takes some time to figure it out again, that's always the better route to take as opposed to punting on the guy when his value is at the absolute lowest, right? So that to me is not realistic.
Yeah.
Let's get through this season, and then we can maybe reevaluate things.
Well, and I didn't want to make this about Pettersson, but more about Quinn Hughes, who's put the team on his shoulders right now, and I get it. And the other night against the Devils, he tried to do a little bit too much on himself, but that's a sign of, like, yeah, the other superstars on this team are just not going right now, and Quinn is being asked and is needed to do more himself in order to get this team results. And it'll work against a lot of different teams. It probably works against San Jose and Anaheim, but it's not going to work against teams that are at the upper echelon of the league. And so that's something the Canucks definitely have to keep an eye on. We'll get into lots more with the Vancouver Canucks as the show goes on. We're live from the Sheridan Wall Center ahead of the Can Pro-Am Draft Night in support of the Canucks Autism Network. The Canucks Central Roundup, Baines and Brännström were called back up, so the Canucks doing what they've done recently, continuing to toll some extra cap space on days off for the team with those two players. No changes to what the lines look like from the start of the New Jersey game, which is a bit surprising. However, I don't know how much stock I'm putting into that just yet, because Derek Forbert and Dakota Joshua are both currently day-to-day and could be returning to the lineup.
Yeah, they could be back really soon. Does Dakota play on Saturday? Not sure, but I would imagine he's playing on this road trip.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's at. And it's just great to see, honestly. And he met with the media today and, you know, spoke about, you know, all the challenges, but also all the support he's had. And it's just fantastic to see. And I'm really excited to see him back in the lineup.
And it will add some much-needed depth to the Canucks lineup. Right now, there will have to be, once Joshua is ready to play, he's on IR currently, so a roster move will have to be made. You wonder if Archdeep Baines ends up being the casualty as a guy who does not have to go through waivers right now.
Yeah, and clearly the coach likes what Baines can do, right? And honestly, like, I've seen some good things from Baines, and I've seen, obviously, he scored the goal. I don't know if he's ready for that role yet, obviously, the top six role. And I think as far as him playing down the lineup, that's something that I think he's going to be fighting these guys for, right? Like, as much as, you know, people may look at him and look at a guy like Hoglander or even Daniel Sprong and say, clearly these guys are more talented, more dynamic. Again, fundamentals.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately something the coach trusts. It's like he's kind of the new PDG in that sense.
Yeah. He's earning the trust of the coach with how he's played in those areas. So that is the news from practice today. Canucks and the San Jose Sharks. Tomorrow we'll have pregame at 6 o'clock for a 7 o'clock puck drop in San Jose. Coming up next, Yannick Hansen will be joining us, our Friday analyst, as he dives into what happened to the Canucks against the New Jersey Devils the other night and how they progress from where they're currently sitting this season. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. This is Canucks Central.